God's beloved, your beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to you this morning through Psalm 139, a very familiar psalm. We were there about this time last year with our newest brother, our covenant child, David. We'll be overlapping a little bit of some of those verses today, but we'll be focusing on some other verses that we overlapped, I believe, last time in some of those sermons last year. But we turn to Psalm 139, and our text from Psalm 139 that we'll focus on this morning will be verses 7 through 10. Hear now the word of God. Oh, pardon me. First, I'd like to share something that makes me think to turn to this text today, but we'll be going to Psalm 139, again, verses 7 through 10. And I just wanted to share with you something that the Lord, I think, guided me to thinking about what to share, what to bring to you for a sermon today. Last night and this morning. And I begin to think about resources, things I've read, things that have impressed me, that almost a little bit of a filing system in my brain, at least, and in my heart. And I thought of something I keep near my bed I don't turn to nearly often enough, but it's the book called Valley of Vision, Puritan Prayers. And we have several copies of them in our library. And there's something that I highlighted. I don't highlight too much from these prayers, but I've highlighted and often thought and sometimes prayed this, and I think it's a really important thing that we can be praying today and should think to be praying often. This little phrase in a prayer from the Valley of Vision says this: impress me deeply with a sense of thine omnipresence. That's powerful to think about. Impress me deeply. Oh, Lord God, impress me deeply with a sense of thine omnipresence. And what does omnipresence mean? You know that means God is everywhere present. God is present everywhere, all the time. We are not omnipresent, but wherever we find ourselves, often where we did not expect to be in life, God is there. We are never there on our own, even if it would seem otherwise as we look around ourselves. Impress me deeply with a sense of thine omnipresence. You see, impress me deeply with a sense of that. Let me recognize this reality. Let this revelation bring it home into me and help me to see it. Impress me deeply with a sense of thine omnipresence. This is a good refrain to pray throughout our life. And I think it's essentially what David is talking about all through Psalm 139, but especially in our text today. Hear now the word of God, verses 7 through 10, Psalm 139. Impress me deeply with a sense of thine omnipresence. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Beloved, I submit to you, these are some of the most encouraging words you can ever take with you wherever you go in your journey through life. Wherever you go, you'll find God is there with you. You see, it's not just that he's everywhere, he's there with you there. Essentially, I think David is saying this: wherever a Christian finds himself, he always finds Christ there with him. Wherever a Christian finds herself, she always finds Christ there with her. Wherever a church finds itself, it always finds Christ there with it. What will keep you going? Knowing that God is always with you. God is everywhere. More importantly, what that means for you, Christian, is that God is everywhere there for you. And the message for you from this text today, the point of the sermon is this: be deeply aware that God is there. Where are you right now? Do you feel lonely? Do you feel abandoned? Do you feel utterly isolated, alienated perhaps, distanced? Be deeply aware that God is there. I was going to say, be deeply aware that God is everywhere. But really the point of it that David brings home is that God is there. Wherever you are, God is there. Be deeply aware. Jesus says to you, beloved, be deeply aware that God is there. Be deeply aware that God is always there with you in your life's lonely pilgrimage. Be deeply aware that God is always there with you in your life's lonely pilgrimage. Look at verse 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? Notice first he's speaking in the singular. It's this sense of I'm all alone, I'm all on my own. This is often the testimony of life. It starts and ends that way, and is often that way all throughout it. See the imagery, though. It's this walking, it's this going. Where shall I go? Where shall I flee from thy spirit, from thy presence? This is the story of a wayfaring stranger. I'm just a wayfaring stranger walking through this world of woe. I'm essentially alone, or I often feel utterly alone. This is the story of a sojourner, which is why it should touch us that all through the scriptures, as we see God creating this covenant people, he is always opening the door to a sojourner to be with God's people, to be walking with them. But it's lonely. But as one story says, my daughters especially love, based on a true story, Christian, you're often alone, but you are never alone. Alone, but not alone. So he says in verse 7, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Beloved, remember that you are the temple of God and the Holy Spirit dwells in you. So remember that it's not just that wherever you go outside of you, God is there. Wherever you find yourself going, God is always in you. He's always in you. He's always with you there. It's not even that you have to go find him out there, because he's always with you wherever you are. And this should be no surprise, because this is your experience. This is your reality since your very birth, since your very conception. Remember what we saw with the message for David, Noah Delgado last year. Look at verse 13 of the Psalm 139. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Verses 15 and 16. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. And in the Hebrew there, I think it's the word substance. It's even that idea of, you know, the smallest, I don't know if it would be the zygote, but the smallest beginnings of a baby. Not just like the baby's growing in the womb, but at the very conception, when no one could see you, your mother wouldn't even have been aware of you yet. But God was actually there with you at your conception. He's the reason it happened. In your mother's womb, when no one else knew you were there, God was there. And so this is the experience that continues for the Christian. God is there. And so David expresses this experience from outside the womb in the psalm, verses 1 through 3. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. You know me. Don't you know that loneliness of no one really knows me? No one really knows me, and how lonely that is. But God knows you. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. I was at a coffee house this week, waiting on Rachel for her day class. I found another coffee house I went to and was just trying to get a little bit of work done on sermons. And you know, you tend to notice all the people that are sitting alone. You know, most people are alone. I was alone. And it's interesting to think that these people, I'm there so long, I notice certain people getting up and sitting down and coming and going while I'm still there. And God noticed my sitting down and then my getting up, and he noticed what I had for coffee. He noticed what I was doing. He's always there watching me, with me, whether I'm sitting, whether I'm getting up, just even at the coffee place. Same for you. He knows your thoughts. He knows you and he knows your thoughts. You know that loneliness of even not even be able to express yourself sometimes so that someone could know what you mean? God knows your thoughts. He knows your thoughts. Remember, he knows your prayers. Jesus says, even before you know to ask them, he already knows your needs. Verse 3, thou compassest my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. When you're lying in bed trying to get to sleep, when maybe you're tossing and turning, you can't get to sleep. When you are sleeping, Psalm 121 says he watches over you. He never slumbers nor sleeps. He's watching. He's there. He's constantly present. And so in verse 8, when it says, thou art there, and behold, thou art there, literally in the Hebrew, here's what's actually there. It says, if I ascend into the heaven, essentially, literally, it's this. There you. There you. And then when it says, behold, thou art there, literally, it's behold you. You see, it's this personal presence of a personal Savior, the Good Shepherd. There you. Behold, you. You see, whatever you face, you can see God's face facing it with you. If it can be said of you that he walked with God, may it be. If it can be said of you, and may it be, that she walked with God, then you can know that God walks with you. David is expressing what Jesus promises. You can be content with such things as you have. For I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. It doesn't matter where you find yourself, literally or figuratively, utterly alone, I am always there with you. And beloved, that's the great encouragement. Because there's going to be many times, could be solitary confinement, could be in prison, could be as you are about to be a martyr. Jesus is there with you. Jesus is there to stand up and take Stephen straight into heaven. Jesus encourages us in Matthew 11, go out there and don't worry about what happens to you. You're going to be beat. You're going to be treated poorly. You're going to suffer. You might die, but don't worry. I'll actually be there. Whatever's happening, if you even need to give your head as John the Baptist, I will count the hairs on your head as it happens. And as you have exalted the head, Jesus Christ, to do that, you will be brought straight in heaven, and I'll resurrect your body. I'll put your head back on it, and you'll be with me forever. And in the meantime, I'll be with you resting in your grave as a bed waiting for the resurrection. And you'll be with me in heaven, rejoicing in my presence where there's fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore in the meantime. Sparrows, not one of them falls, and I know it and I see it. So he says, Jesus, whatever you go through, as alone as it may make you have to be to stand for me and to preach for me, I will notice you. I will always be there. If a sparrow, so much more you who suffer utter loneliness for my name's sake. And so at the end of the gospel, go now, teach all nations. Baptize them. Tell them to do everything I command you. Actually teach and preach the Sermon on the Mount. Every jot and tittle. Even though many will reject you for it, and you will often be sent into lonely places because of it. Why can you do this, he says. not only because he's been given all power in heaven and earth, but the other important reason, the very end of the Great Commission, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And that's the point of Matthew 11. I'm sending you out to be apostles, and it's going to be really, really hard. Here's why you can do it even unto death. I will be with you. My spirit will be with you. Through all the cities of Israel, I will back you up. I will give you flyover cover for your boots on the ground. It'll never be that you're doing it without me. You're never going it alone, beloved. Just like Martin Luther in the movie we watched about his life last night. Here you stand, you can do no other, though you are the only one standing in the room representing yourself. Yet God is in front of you, and he is in the rear, and he has got your back, and you with God, as Knox has said and experienced for many years as a slave rowing a French ship. One man in God is a majority. God is in front of you in the rear as a person and as a people. He smiles in you and calls on you to remember again not to despise the day of small things. Asking where is God, but recognizing he's right here. Just as he was with the smallest of churches he had the most praise for being most faithful in the letter to the churches of Asia. He's right here in our midst. He is walking within the midst of the lampstand. So David asked this rhetorical question, where? Whither shall I go? Where? But it's setting up the answer that he illustrates and then brings it home through the rest of these verses that we're looking at. There. Everywhere. Be deeply aware that there is nowhere where you won't find God finding you. Be deeply aware that God is always there with you in your life's lonely pilgrimage, but also be deeply aware that there is nowhere where you won't find God finding you. Verses 8 and 9 of our text. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. More literally, there you. If I make my bed in hell, behold. More literally, behold you. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there, verse 10, thy hand lead me. But notice what he's thinking about. He's speaking in the extremities of life. He's going as high and low as you can. He's going as wide and as deep as you can go to say, there's no place that you're going to find yourself in life that God isn't already there. Go up to the mountaintops and God is there. I had that experience when I felt so alone a month or so ago and I was walking to remember my late wife up in the Laguna Mountains and I had this glorious experience. I'm not alone here. I felt like I was going alone, but he took me up to the rock that is higher than I and I had a joyful experience in that barren place looking over the desert that yet God was there. And God was there with me, and he had taken me up the mountain, and he was there, and he brought me back down to the valley. You go to the valley, the deep valley where the shadows are often over you, the darkness, and yet that's where the water is found, and that's often the safest place to get up the mountain, remember Psalm 23. You go to the highest mountain peaks, you go to the lowest valleys. He says, you know, go across the expanse of the ocean. Think of the Pacific Ocean. And how people are lost and never to be found, whether it's boat or plane, because of its vastness. How hard it is to find someone whose boat has gone down, if they're even down there from a plane or a helicopter, because it's so wide and vast, you can't be found. It's as if you're not there. But down there, God is there with you. Morning or night. You see, you get up early in the morning to fly across the sea. By the time you get there, it's the sun setting. And yet, he's there. It doesn't matter where, and it doesn't matter what time of day. This is why solitary times can actually be sometimes the most spiritual and the most special. Getting alone with God is sometimes really the best thing that can ever happen to us. To find God in our lonely moments, in the loneliest of places, can be the sweetest and most meaningful fellowship for us. Think of David writing this. Think of his life in a cave or in a throne. Life is lonely. Jesus knew this more than anybody, however, on the cross. Look to him there. Forsaken by mankind, forsaken by God his Father. No one has ever been more lonely than Jesus. Because of him crying out, Psalm 22, why have you forsaken me? You never know that cry. You'll never know that cry in hell. And so you can rejoice, as the writer to Hebrews reminds us, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus knows loneliness more than you'll ever know. And you can look to him and see him there always and know if no one else gets it, he gets it and he knows and he's there. Whether you are pacing your room overnight or whether you are lost in a sea of faces at noonday, God's face is always facing you. And so this truth is your truth as it is the truth, summarizing the life of Jennifer on her gravestone. Psalm 73, verse 24, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Therefore, we can say later on, Psalm 73, verse 28, it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God. David is expressing what is said similarly by Paul in Romans chapter 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness, or peril, or sword? I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus, our Lord. You see, God is not only there, wherever you find yourself, here's the more important thing to notice. God himself is taking you there. Or you'll be able to see, maybe sometimes looking back, it is God himself who has taken you there. Thus, he's there. He was there before you got there, and he was there to get you there. So be deeply aware that wherever you are, you will find God's hand holding your hand. Be deeply aware that God is always there with you in your life's lonely pilgrimage. Be deeply aware that there is nowhere where you won't find God finding you, because you should be deeply aware that wherever you are going, you will find God's hand holding your hand. Verse 10. Even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Notice the repetition of the word hand, touch. Figurative, metaphorical, but also literal by the Spirit, Christ's Spirit in you. You see, God is the shepherd guiding you all along the way. And he's the one that gets you when you try to go get all alone as if you could, and brings you back to the flock. His hand leads you, his hand literally grasps you. same idea back in verse 5. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Notice also that idea again of you're behind me and you're ahead of me. You're ahead of the church and in the rear. You're always with me. Your hand is on me. It's not even that your presence is in and with me. Your hand is on me. Again, like a parent's hand grasping the child's hand so they don't run out and get killed by a car. Or a parent's hand on the child's head, guiding and steering along the way. His hand leads, his hand grasps you, beloved. And that right hand is Jesus Christ, at the right hand of God, your good shepherd, that great shepherd of the sheep. And so you can always be singing what David is expressing here. You can be saying, I know it's true. There you are. Psalm 23, verse 4, we know so well. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall not fear. For thou art with me. Beloved, what more can you have than that? And if you don't have that, what else do you have? I can't promise you anything but what Jesus promised you. Persecution, suffering, loneliness, despair, separation, even from your closest family members, as we'll see in Matthew 10. I can't promise you that you won't have to give your life for God like Antipas. But what I can promise you from God's word is it doesn't matter whether it's the valley of the shadow of death, it doesn't matter what you are going to go through, how lonely you will often feel, what will keep you from utter despair? Thou art with me. That's your prayer when you're finding yourself having to walk through that next valley that you don't want to have to go through. And you feel, whether it's true or not, you feel like you're about to walk through it absolutely alone. That will often be your experience, especially for Christ's name's sake. And the way that you step forward is you say, thou art with me. It doesn't matter where I'm going. You will be there, and you are taking me there. Beloved, there are many places that no one will go with you because they won't want to. And there are many places and times where no one can go with you because they are not God. Sometimes it's truly only he that will or can rejoice with you when you rejoice. You ever know that experience? You're trying to share something that you're so happy about and you feel like nobody seems to care. Nobody really seems to want to rejoice with me over this. And that's an unbelievably lonely experience. But he can, and he will. You can always say, you're with me. You're rejoicing with me, O Lord Christ. Sometimes no one can because of their sinful nature, or no one can because they are not God. No one will be able to weep with you when you weep. Not really. Not all the time. Not to the depths that you go, that no one can go there with you. They are not God. The Spirit alone can groan in you. The Spirit alone can groan for you, and he will and does. And only the Holy Father can truly hear and understand that groaning and be there for you. But he does hear, and he does understand. And you have that fellowship in those loneliness of moments. He never leaves you to groan completely on your own. He always will be with you there. Just look and listen all along your way as you think you are all alone through life. Wherever it takes you along its lonely narrow way, where there are few you'll ever find with you. Whether it be on your hospital bed, whether it be on your deathbed, and my young brother, Isaac, whether it be when you cry out, "I wish mommy was here to put me to bed," while we were driving recently. In your most lonely moments that no one else will ever understand or be able to be there for you, and it's not even their fault, nor their ability to do anything. In those loneliest of moments, you can deeply experience God's special presence, and especially then and there. When no one else is there, you more powerfully see how much God is there, and that He has taken you there, and He will get you through there to the next there, even when you don't know where you are going. Again, as one of the Puritans has said, Abraham didn't know where he was going, but he knew with whom he was going. And so God says to you, in your loneliness of moments, if you'll look to see, they're there now. We are in this together. That prayer I shared from the Valley of Vision is called God is the Source of All Good. Let me repeat it. Impress me deeply with a sense of thine omnipresence. Impress me deeply with a sense of thine omnipresence. But it continues with these words. Are you all listening? Because you need this, beloved. Because I and we can't go there with you this week, not everywhere, but God can and will if you'll have Him. That is, if you'll see Him there. Impress me deeply with a sense of thine omnipresence. The prayer goes on, that thou art about my path, my ways, my lying down, my end. Let that be our regular prayer. Impress me, O Lord, impress me deeply with a sense of thine omnipresence, that thou art about my path, my ways, my lying down, my end. Impress me deeply with that, as the psalmist is deeply impressed with God's presence wherever he finds himself, otherwise utterly alone, yet never alone. Beloved, walk by faith and not by sight. And there never needs to be a time where you can't answer this question. Where is God? You need only look and listen and pray to be deeply impressed with His omnipresence. And you can always see and be able to say, even through the valley of death, oh, you, behold, I behold. Oh, there you are. Oh, there you are. Dearly beloved, be deeply aware that God is there. Let us pray. O Lord Christ, our great shepherd of we, your sheep, indeed, impress us deeply with a sense of your omnipresence, that you are about our paths, our ways, our lying down, and our ends. And we close praying as you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Before God dismisses us with his blessing, we will bless his name. We will bless our triune God and be thankful for his continual presence with us, singing Psalm 117. Please stand. Now through the high priestly prayer that he wrote for his people in the book of Numbers, through his earthen vessel, Christ, your good shepherd, holds his hands up over you and blesses you with his promise of his presence. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.